Welcome back to Lost Test Channel. My name is Anton Vjeltsin. I'm an attorney in the Southern District of California here in San Diego. I'm actually licensed in California, Nevada, and I take cases throughout the West Coast. Today we're going to discuss a case where a Border Patrol agent stops a vehicle, finds an illegal alien inside, and charges the driver and the passenger with transportation of illegal aliens. In the process, he finds a cell phone belonging to the driver. After a few hours, the Border Patrol agent searches that phone without a warrant. Now, I like this case because it goes through a number of exceptions under the Fourth Amendment, namely the automobile exception, search incident to arrest, and exigent circumstances. Before we discuss the case and these exceptions, I want to thank you for watching me on YouTube and joining me on Spotify and Audible. And I ask you to give me a thumbs up on YouTube and give me a 5-star review on Audible and Spotify. And if you haven't done so yet, if you want to find my podcast on Spotify or Audible, please look for Joe Rogan Experience with Lost Ash. I'm just kidding. That's not the name of the podcast. It's really called Collect Call with Lost Ash. And really, because I have such a unique name, you can simply Google Lost Ash and you will find all the links. Now let's go ahead and discuss this case.
Hello, this is a prepaid collect call from
Lost Ash Law Firm
at Western Region San Diego. To accept this call, press 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. Thank you for using T-Netix. You may start the conversation now.
Today we're discussing United States versus Camus, which is a Ninth Circuit case from 2014, where Border Patrol agents made a primary inspection of the vehicle at checkpoint on Highway 86. When they saw the passenger of the vehicle be nervous and not make eye contact with Border Patrol agents, the officers asked the driver whether it was okay for them to look inside the vehicle and open the rear doors. When they opened the rear doors of the truck, they found an illegal alien, an undocumented immigrant, laying between the back seat and the front seats of the vehicle. The officers arrested the driver, Mr. Camus, the passenger, and took custody of the illegal immigrant. Now, after the inspection and the arrest, they interviewed all of the individuals. Mr. Camus did not waive his Miranda rights and did not provide a statement, which is exactly what you should be doing if you're ever arrested. Do not speak to the police without an attorney being present. Now, the passenger, on the other hand, waived her Miranda rights and provided a statement. She said that Mr. Camus would generally get a phone call from another individual who would arrange a pickup of illegal aliens. Once they would receive a call, they would go and pick up these illegal immigrants and drive them through the checkpoint. In the last 9 months, they would transport about 8 people per month. With that information in hand, the two individuals, the driver and the passenger, were arrested and charged with transportation of illegal aliens under Section 1324. And about an hour and 20 minutes later, the officer went back into Camus' cell phone, which was seized. He opened it up. He looked through the contacts on the phone, about 170 photos, and a number of videos. When he found incriminating evidence unrelated to this crime, he contacted the FBI, who then received a warrant to search the phone further. But they received that warrant by relying on the information that was provided to them by the Border Patrol agent. Mr. Camus filed a motion to suppress all evidence found on the phone because he says that that was a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. Remember, the Fourth Amendment protects you against unreasonable searches and seizures. And generally speaking, officers need to have a warrant in order to search or seize you. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. And the first exception we're going to discuss is the search incident to arrest, which allows officers making a lawful arrest, to conduct a search of an area within arrestee's immediate control, that is the area from within which he might gain control, possession of the weapon, or destructible evidence. As you can tell from the definition, search incident to arrest has a number of requirements. Number one, that the items being searched must be under immediate control of the person being arrested. And number two, that the search itself must be spatially and temporally incident to arrest. Now, the Ninth Circuit doesn't go into the first requirement because they say the government cannot satisfy the second requirement. First, the search of the phone occurred an hour and 20 minutes after the arrest. Now, when we look at other cases, the Ninth Circuit says that this is just too far removed from the arrest. Most of the time when we're talking about incident to arrest, we're talking about searches that occur within minutes of the person being arrested. And of course, we don't only have to look at the time itself. We can look at other intervening acts that occur between the arrest and the search. And here, there are a number of these intervening acts. Let's go ahead and look through this just like the Ninth Circuit did. The string of intervening acts occurred between Camus' arrest and the search of his cell phone that make the 1 hour and 20 minute delay even more unreasonable. Camus and Lundy, by the way, is the passenger who was with Camus during the arrest. They were restrained with handcuffs. They were moved from checkpoint area to the security offices. They were processed. Agents moved Camus' cell phone from the vehicle into the security offices, inventoried the phone as a seized item, and moved the phone from the interview rooms. Camus and Lundy were interviewed as part of the booking process. The illegal immigrant was also interviewed, and the agents interviewed Lundy for the second time. And then they tried to interview Camus, who invoked his right to remain silent. All of these intervening acts make the search of the phone not be roughly contemporaneous with the arrest. And therefore, this is not a search incident to arrest. Moving on to the second exception, exigent circumstances. Under this exception, the officers may conduct a warrantless search if they have probable cause to believe that the item or place to be searched contains evidence of a crime, and they're facing exigent circumstances that require immediate police action. Now, when we're talking about the second element, what we generally mean is that there is a necessity to prevent physical harm to police officers or other persons. We need to prevent destruction of relevant evidence, escape of a suspect, or some other consequence improperly frustrating legitimate law enforcement efforts. And after Riley versus California, a warrant is generally required for a cell phone search. Why? Well, because there's no exigent circumstances. Mr. Camus is arrested and in custody. The cell phone is in possession of the Border Patrol agents. Nothing stops them from getting a warrant to search the phone. Mr. Camus is not in the position to destroy any evidence of a crime that could be found on that phone. He has no access to that phone. For these reasons, exigent circumstances exception doesn't apply to this set of facts, says the Ninth Circuit. Let's move on now to the third exception, automobile exception. Now, this one is a little bit different. While the other two exceptions were worried about safety to officers, automobile exception, the reasoning behind it is simply that automobiles, by their nature, are mobile, they move around, and because of that, the Supreme Court has told us that supposedly
people have a lower expectation of privacy in their automobiles. And as long as the officers have probable cause to believe that incriminating evidence will be found inside the vehicle or any containers within the vehicle, they can search the vehicle without a warrant by relying on this exception. But of course, we first have to define containers. And we know under the Supreme Court case, New York versus Belton, a container has been defined as any object capable of holding another object. And the Supreme Court also explained that in the vehicle context, containers include closed or open glove compartments, consoles, and other receptacles located anywhere within the passenger compartment, as well as luggage, boxes, bags, clothing, and anything similar. But here we have a cell phone, and a cell phone doesn't fit within any of these definitions. After all, we can think of the information on the phone as something that doesn't come straight from the phone. It might be coming from another location, like a server away from the phone. But even if we don't look into that, the Ninth Circuit says simply that phones cannot be defined as containers under the automobile exception. And for that reason, this exception also fails for the government. Because the government cannot prove any of these exceptions, their application to the facts, the Ninth Circuit says that the motion to suppress should have been granted, and they remand the case to the lower court to act accordingly. If you enjoyed this video, if you understand a little bit more about the Fourth Amendment, some of these exceptions that apply, I ask you to click like, subscribe, hit that bell notification button so next time I post on YouTube, you'll be first to know. And if you're listening on Audible or Spotify, please give my podcast a 5-star review rating. Thanks for watching.
Could a plant really identify a murderer?